I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 493. I don't squee often, but when I do... This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm alive. I don't want to say bad, because I am alive.
Right. No, you're doing well. You're breathing.
Right.
Right? Like, you woke up this morning.
I did.
Winning at life right now.
Okay.
Shut up. You're winning at life.
Okay.
There are some people that did not win at life today, so you're winning.
You're right.
You're ahead of the game. Right. You might just be slightly impaired, but that was really your own doing.
On both counts. Yes. Yes, so, on both counts.
So we are recording this podcast after we have celebrated Panda's birthday, the national holiday that it is.
Which I did not. I don't know if people noticed. I did not go crazy about talking about my birthday on the show.
I know. It's finally like you're almost an adult in that you can recognize that your birthday is not, in fact, a national holiday.
Right. But
you know, after 25, birthdays really don't mean anything. I hate to be the one, because, 25 is the last big one, because you can rent a car by yourself now. That's it. That you are an adult.
No, 30. 30 is a big one.
30 is a personal big, 30 is a personal milestone one. So. You don't get to do anything else that you couldn't do before.
That's true. Legally. I get that.
Okay.
But I did go crazy on the show. I was quiet about it. I dropped something on my personal Facebook, but, I didn't, worship me. I was very chill. I had so much chill.
That's what has to happen when you're over 30, is, your birthday is not a quinceañera every year. Don't expect a piñata full of things.
I've never gotten a piñata full of anything.
I've never had a piñata at a party either, now that I think about it. That sucks. We should fix that. All right, so anyway, maybe for, our 500th episode, we'll get a piñata and we'll bust that bitch open.
Piñata!
Ooh, let me see if I could get somebody to do, a Triforce piñata. And, fill it with, Zelda candies. So that, because episode 500 is coming up close. We're getting there. And, hopefully we'll have some guests on and it'll be a fun time for us to reflect upon our 10 years, 500 episodes of podcasting. Goodness, I don't want to say awesomeness because some of them weren't awesome. Most of them were pretty good though. So with that said, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. But yeah, we did this podcast after celebrating Panda's birthday. So Panda's hurting a little bit.
In two strong ways.
Yeah, between the tattoo and then, drinking.
Yep.
So Panda's hurting. So we're going to keep this one, real focused.
Yep.
No, it's not. It's not going to be real focused. We're going on tangents. That's what we do. You guys know the drill. We're going to talk about games, and we're going to talk about anime today. Because that's what we talk about. Games and anime. Got a bunch of things to talk about. I actually want to jump in first to talk about...
You go right ahead.
I figured you wouldn't fight it.
By all means. After you.
I'm losing my voice. That's really my only fallout from your birthday barbecue family celebration thing. So my voice. But that's okay. It's all good. It's what I got coffee for. I want to talk about Injustice 2 first, right off the bat. Now, you guys know I love fighter games. I've been known to... I'm a reformed cornerer. I like to get people in the corner and just wail. But I'm reformed. I don't do that as often anymore because I'm a grown-up. But I really love the fighter genre. I would say that probably my big, like, deep, heavy gaming as a kid years, which were, like, in the 90s, it was just all fighters. It was, you know, Bloody Roar. I miss that game so much.
I don't, because I was terrified of it.
But Bloody Roar, Tekken, Virtua Fighter, Soul Calibur, Mortal Toshinden. Kombat, Toshinden. Like, I lived in those games. Those are pretty much, like, my entire library. So a lot of times when people talk about classic games, like, I wasn't playing Zelda, and I was not playing Mario in that time. Like, I was straight up in fighters or in brawlers. Like, I owned the bouncer.
And now I have it.
And you have it. And the thing that I only ever said about the bouncer was that I didn't like the fact that it was so, I would call it, foggy. And it was, like, trying to be like you were in the midst of, like, this dream or something. And it was just always hazy in the game. And I just was like, dude, if you could just make this, like, not blurry, this would actually be an okay game. I mean, because the fighting was okay. It wasn't the button masher that I thought it was going to be. But I did enjoy the game. But fighters are really where I spent, like, all my time beating the hell out of Panda.
Yep.
When I could coerce her into playing me. Because she didn't often like to play me in the fighter games.
Because you would kick my butt. And then I think when you would finally get me to, it's because you'd let me be player one. Because in my mind, in Panda's mind, if you were first player, you had a stronger chance of winning. And she would never, Ninja would never let me be first player. She's like, I'm the oldest, I'm number one. And when I finally stopped playing with her, she's like, I'll let you be player one. Which then I was like, I have a chance now. And then I realized that I had fucked up, because it's skill that determines who's a winner and who's a loser, not position. Anyway. So I learned after that just to stop playing. To stop.
Find games that you're better at. Not to play.
That's right. That's absolutely 100% right.
War Games, love that movie. Yeah, I was an asshole.
It's all right. I became a douche later in life, as we're experiencing now.
Yeah, no, but hey, let's douchey 2016. So, hashtag for realsies. I loved Injustice. I thought that Warner did a great job. You guys have heard me talk about the game previously. I think, you know, for a while it was the first fighter on the next gen, I'm doing quotes here, consoles that felt balanced, you know, because this was before Mortal Kombat X came out, and it really was, I think, better balanced than Killer Instinct. I think that KI on the X-Bone 1 now is more balanced, but at the time when Injustice came out, It was definitely better balanced. I think more so even than Soul Calibur. And you guys know I love me some Soul Calibur. Like, if I can play Ivy in every fighting game on the planet, I would be a happy chiquitita. But I can't, because licensing. But Injustice,
I remember when we were out in E3 and they announced it. And there was that big banner going into the South Hall. And, like, when we first saw it, you were just like, Ninja squee moment.
That's right.
Which you don't squee often.
You were there the year that they announced Injustice.
I was. You were just like, squee. I was like, whoa.
I know.
Like,
I don't squee. Squee.
Was,
I don't
squee, squee was a me thing, not a you thing.
I don't so squee like, very often, but when I do, it's for a damn good reason.
That's right. And I was like, oh, I know what you're going to play when it comes out. And granted, absolutely right on that. And I mean, I came a little bit later into playing Injustice, pretty much after you beat the whole story and you're like, no, bro, really, there's a story and it's good. It's not like, hey, there's a competition and you need to be the very best. Like, there was more going on than that.
Be the very best.
Exactly. Like, no. Anyway.
You almost did it.
I fall into that trap all the time. Anyway. But I mean, like I said, I came a little bit later, and because I'm addicted to narrative. 100% addicted to narrative.
Yo, and narrative dope.
And when you drop the narrative on me, I'm like, wow, okay. I kind of want to play some of this. And I mean, I didn't get through the narrative in my time playing it. But
did you still have my copy of Injustice?
I don't think so. I think you've gotten it back. But I enjoyed playing it.
I believe that it may be just simply on the second floor because probably. It's not in my stash of y'all.
I believe it is because I don't have
so
it here.
So you should finish the narrative because here's the deal.
It's so good. I mean, you told me about it, and I had other people who were also playing it around the same time that you were. So I mean, I got the narrative out of it, and I'm like, that's such a great way to blend this media of, you know, of games and then fighters and then comics and like.
So let's talk about the narrative just in case you haven't played Injustice before we go deep into Injustice 2 and why I'm very excited about everything I saw at E3 and some of the new things that they're adding into it. Injustice basically runs in a timeline, an alternate timeline, where Superman has gone crazy. Rogue, whatever you want to call it, because the Joker killed Lois Lane and his child. And in a deep despair moment of grief, Superman kills the Joker in front of Batman and decides that, you know what, people just can't be trusted. Humans just can't be trusted to be good to one another. So I'm going to rally a bunch of superheroes around me and we're going to impose a martial law to ensure that peace and nothing like this ever happens again. But it is a brutal martial law. Superman, any superheroes that go against him or don't want to fall in line with his vision for this martial law, he kills them.
Yep.
Doesn't give them, like, any chances. He kills them. So the Joker is basically unleashed in Superman what, for many, many go-rounds in, like, the animated series and later in the comic books, he's been trying to bring out in Batman, which is just this brutal thing where he makes you cross the line so that you lose yourself. Superman loses himself. And so Batman decides that he has got to stop this, and he's got to find some heroes to stand up to Superman. But like I said, Superman has killed off anybody that stands up against him. So Batman in this timeline finds a way to create a loophole to where he can get back to a different timeline where some of those heroes still exist to bring them to this timeline to basically take out Superman. And so the brawling that happens, you can explore the story from the angle of a multitude of DC superheroes. So you've got Wonder Woman in there, and Wonder Woman is actually on Superman's side. You've got Shazam in there. You've got Flash, bomb-ass Aquaman. You've got Harley Quinn, Catwoman, Batman. You know, all of the figures in the DC universe that you would initially think of. Like, yes, if I was going to build a fighter game with the DC Universe characters, these would be the characters that I would want in there. They're there. Which is really cool. And like I said, it was a balanced fighter. So you don't just have your superpowers as your superhuman being all the time. You have to build up a way to get your superpower to be active so you can pull off a powered combo. Very much like the system in Mortal Kombat X. And the system in Soul Calibur. Got blocking and timing things that you want to be able to pull off to avoid certain combos hitting and things like that. So it's not just, hey, I can just hit low punch or mid punch and just keep doing that and you're going to go down. The game is very balanced on attack and defense. You figuring out the right timing to duck or dodge versus using the elements, because you can use the environment in certain areas to attack as well, which is really cool. And they did a great job in, really, it never felt like any character that I picked as I started going through the narrative, that their piece of the story was just added on. You know, and there are a lot of times where fighting games have tried to do a narrative, and that's what it felt like. You picked a character and it was like, okay, so here's your main story, and here's like two ways that we added these guys on in these two sections to the story. It makes sense. Like, no, everybody has their own arc and how they work into the story or not. And it feels really well fleshed out. And I think part of it is because, you know, they wanted to be sure that there could be a tie-in to the Injustice Gods Among Us animated series. I shouldn't say animated series. Animated videos that they were going to be doing. And DC is very protective of their characters. So I think that Warner and DC really did a great job of bringing the first Injustice to the market as a really super strong fighter game with a strong narrative. And then you have, you know, all the unlocks that are in the game as far as alternate costumes and things like that. But those things didn't really add anything to the gameplay. It's not like an alternate costume made your character better or anything like that. And that's one of the things that they're now interjecting in Injustice 2. So the existing characters are all coming back that were in Injustice 1. But they're adding on some characters as well. Gorilla Grodd's one of them. I can't remember if Reverse Flash was one of them or not. But they're adding in some new characters to the DC, from the DC roster to the game. But the biggest things that they're adding are in their loot system and also in their costuming system. So now in the game, you can actually... It's more almost like a RPG skill building type tree. Is that you can earn the ability to increase your character stats. So you can, through gameplay, earn points to put towards beefing up your character's strength or your character's speed. So now if you were one of the people who felt like you love fighting with Aquaman, but he was a little bit slower
right
than all your other you can focus on earning skill points to beef up Aquaman's speed to kind of level the playing field a little bit, if that's your go-to character. So I like the idea of being able to sit with a character that I really like to play and find ways to compensate for any of their deficiencies that I think that they have. Whether it's like, Catwoman is really fast, but it took many more hits with Catwoman to do the same kind of damage as like a single lantern punch from Green Lantern. You know, and so now I can work with Catwoman and run through versus mode, story mode, even online play, and earn skill points that I can add on. Additionally, costumes now do affect how your character plays in the game, so they do add buffs.
I think that's good. I like that idea. I get more investment in a character if you feel more personally attached.
I feel like it becomes a better successor to DCU, because DCU is just a lot of work.
Yes.
But I feel like they've taken some of the better pieces of DCU and brought them into Injustice 2, which if you haven't played DC Universe, if you're a fan of DC characters, you may want to check it out. I'm not that deep into the DC universe, so I did not. But I do think that some of those really cool elements out of DCU they brought into Injustice 2. And when you look at the characters and the character designs, they're just so gorgeous. So, you know, the story continues to pick up after the end of Injustice 1. Spoiler alert, guys. Batman wins.
You know, oh, no.
Because he's got the kryptonite. And so with the help of the heroes that he works with both in that timeline and the ones that he brings from the other timeline, he is able to, with the use of kryptonite, imprison Superman. That's the end of the game, and we're like, all right, so you imagine that now Batman's going to go and right the world. Well, there's still superheroes that were loyal to Superman and his vision. So in Injustice 2, you pick up with the last parts of Superman's regime still trying to keep that martial law going. And so now you're going to work through those guys. And, you know, we don't know if somebody's going to figure out a way to bust Superman out. And you're going to have to deal with Superman again. You know, in any of the trailers that you see for Injustice 2, you do see Batman, Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman all coming together to clash. So probably somehow, some way, Superman gets out, is let out, but don't know.
It breaks out.
You know, feels like busting loose, so he busts loose. Like, we don't know.
Because busting makes him feel good.
I mean, busting does make him feel good. So what if it's Shazam? Well, I still have issues with that. That's, I think, one of the moments that I was like, seriously, Amanda, you need to play this game. And when you get to this point, you need to call me because we need to talk about this. Because the way that Superman kills Shazam is the most brutal thing ever. And it is, to me, the most un-Superman thing that he could do. Because you know...
I think because if you know who Shazam is and...
He's a kid.
Even though, obviously, at the time
his
that...
His power just puts him in the body of a man. But he's, like, 11 years fucking old.
Well, Superman not anymore. Killed a kid. Dead. Yeah. Burning through his brain. Through his eye sockets.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Because he questioned whether or not what they were doing was the right thing. What didn't even say that, like, he's not down with it, Superman. He questioned it, and Superman picked him up and burnt... His laser beams through his eye sockets, through the back of his head.
And killed him.
And at that point, I was like, fuck you, Superman. You need to go down. And I've never been, like, in a position where I've been like, fuck you, Superman. So, like, Injustice made me do that. So, I can't wait to see what they bring out in this game, how the story unfolds, you know, the additional characters that they've brought in. Because it's a full roster. And it's... I just enjoyed having a game where I could pit Nightwing against Damian Wayne. Because, like, in my heart of hearts, like, that's my, like, dream battle with, like, Batman just watching in the wings. All Game of Thrones, like, just sitting in a chair in, like, the back.
Which one of you will be my true successor?
Is it going to be my son or, like, the adopted son, basically?
Oh, my God.
And
Cat fight!
It's about to be a what? Girl cat. Fight.
Bat fight.
So, yeah. So, like, I love that. And I think I probably played more games with friends where I would be like, please be Damian Wayne so I can just be Nightwing. Just this round. I think it could be anybody you want, but just this round. Because I love that fight so much in my head. Like, so much. So, again, Injustice 2, if you like fighting games, you'll definitely want to check it out. There are a few gameplay trailers that are out right now that you can check out on YouTube. I'm sure that this is going to be one of those games that makes the rounds at Evo. Like, it's just so balanced. I think that, you know, you'll see it in the rotation, which makes sense. I don't think that it will replace Street Fighter as, like, the game.
I don't think so either.
For competition. But... Like, it's solid, guys. Like, you should check it out. If you haven't had a chance to play Injustice 1, aka Injustice, definitely check it out. It is totally worth it. I love the game. And, you know, as somebody who is very particular about their fighters, I am more excited for Injustice 2 than I am for Tekken 7.
And really?
The Tekken franchise... for me, really fell off after Tag Tournament.
Okay. I enjoyed me some Tekken Bowling, so...
I really... The franchise lost me at Tekken 6. It just... You know how sometimes you get into a game and you expect, okay, you're going to do something to wow me, or you're going to introduce me to something new. Like, you expect the game to at least bring something new when it's coming out, and not just... updated versions of existing characters and updated versions of existing costumes. You expect something else, whether it's a change to a countering mechanism or, you know, even more arenas to fight in, or there's always some kind of innovation. And 6 just kind of felt like, I think how you felt after Final Fantasy X. Like, everyone went, oh, we gotta do another one of these things. So, here you go. Like, that's how I felt with 6, and I really felt abandoned because, as you know, I was a Tekken freak.
I know you were.
I have all my original Tekken discs, all the way back to my black, you know, PlayStation 1 discs. I haven't touched them in forever, but I have them, and I refuse to part with them because I love those games so much. But the franchise really lost me at 6, and I haven't seen anything yet in 7 that tells me that it's better. Like, I would rather go back to Dead or Alive.
Oh, I loved it. Yes.
DOA, like, every DOA game I've picked up, not including the volleyball ones, because I really don't get with the volleyball ones, guys. I know.
It's a dating sim.
Like, call me sexist if you want. Like, I got nothing against bouncing boobs and taking photos of the broads, but
How about butt wrestling, where you push people off things with your butt?
Again, I got nothing against the butt wrestling. I just don't want to play it.
Girls.
Booty bounce. I'm not into the girls like that. But I do enjoy the fighting games. And so I would be more interested in another DOA fighting game than I am in Tekken. Like, I'm pretty much done with Tekken. And that's a sad place to be. But, and I never thought that I would be there. But I don't enjoy it. Like,
sometimes we grow out of stuff, sis. We grow up.
We do.
And things that we love as children don't follow us.
But I'm not growing out of Soul Calibur.
Well, that's because, one, they kept some decent people from their original team, got some new blood, and then said, we need to fix this so that we don't get lost in the new. So they knew that they had to revitalize enough, but keep enough of that core stuff in there so that nostalgia would still be strong enough without people rejecting any of the new stuff that they threw in there. And their narrative was decent. Like, they did such a great job in, what was it, I think 5?
Yeah.
And I think I was like, holy shit, like, that is smart. Smart.
Actually laying out the Soul Edge versus Soul Calibur.
Yes, that was genius. I thought that was great. And,
It's a good way to kind of reintroduce Edgemaster. Because, like, in the original games, like, he's the one who talks about and you get the sword from, kind of, from correctly.
Sort of.
But he wasn't a playable character. He was basically, like, the narrator.
Okay.
The creator of all the weapons that the chosen masters had. And then they introduced him as, you know, no, actually it makes sense that the Edgemaster would, like, get all up in on this. So let's do that. And I thought that was a great introduction for his character. But agreed, you know, again, they added some narrative, and it was good narrative. It wasn't
good
great
narrative.
Narrative, but it was right. Good narrative.
But it was enough to be like, oh, I'd love to see how all these people are going to somehow interact and how their motives are going to cross-clash and all that stuff. And they made it palatable, and they made it interesting, which is why you're like, oh, man, I wonder if I follow this path with this character, how I'm going to bump into the sister I'm trying to find and how she's going to feel about me coming after her. Like it plays up on all that stuff. Like, I mean, I think for Tekken to be, like, even remotely considered new and engaging, I mean, I feel pretty bad, but, like, when I sit here and I think about it, we had Jin and Jun, and we had, you know, like, this brother-sister relationship, which they kind of teased
June. It's like Jin and Juice, but please continue.
No, but I think, and I'm trying to remember, because I believe it was Jin, the guy, who also, like, had a devil form, which they've never fully fleshed out, like, why? They're just like, oh yeah, it was prophesized and blah, blah, blah.
Because it's in his family line, all the way from Heihachi down.
So, but we never get more into that. And then we've got sister who's like, I have to find my brother. Well, why? All we know is that she's trying to find him. But we don't know why we should care about this particular union. And I mean, and you give us all these tidbits with all these characters. And then you have the time guy, Azriel or whatever, or however fuck you say his name, who's just like, I've done this for eons now, and I'm just kind of bored. Yeah, the black guy with the eyes. Like, he's been a part of this whole thing forever and a day. And, like, nothing. They say jack's shit about it. And it's just like,
well,
you know.
It's so convoluted because, like, you had to dig it up yourself. It wasn't presented really well.
But I'm just saying that you have all these great nuances, which, if you fleshed it out, like, they could find a way. Like, I feel like there's a way. And actually, now that they think about it, the black guy was actually in Soul Calibur, Yeah, because he's at the end of it, and he's wearing a black suit, like, we're going to be just doing this again, so, like, he's just so dejected by everything. It's really sad that of Tekken, that I can remember, the only characters I remember was the whole Jin, Jun, Heihachi kind of thing. And then, oh, by the way,
Hitachi makes...
Hi, Hitachi Magucci.
Hitachi.
Hey, Hitachi Gucci. And, and, like, they didn't make it compelling enough. Oh, and then there was the panda and, like, the schoolgirl.
Panda.
I got broads in Atlanta. But anyway, like...
Do you?
I know in Atlanta. I know some people who live in Georgia. I don't think she lives in Atlanta. And I mean, I would never call her abroad, but she is femille. So, like, but anyway, whatever, not the point. But the fact that, like, I can think of Soul Calibur and I can go, oh man, like, I remember Claudia trying to find her sister. Because she was, like, all possessed and shit. Like, they made the stories, like, you tied in so many people to a story. And it made sense. And then how it interacted with somebody else's group of three story. Like, you're like, oh, okay, that's really cool. But in Tekken, they didn't really do that. Like, they really kind of put all their chips on this one story that they lightly hinted about. You know, oh, you get the ability to play as Devil Jin, but, like, that... Blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, Hayabusa's in here because, you know, we had to put a better game character in here so that you'd be interested. Ooh, like, there was too much wagging of the dog. And, I mean, I loved Tekken Tag because, one, I like cooperative stuff and I also like bowling. I think I played the bowling far more.
We ended up playing the bowling more once we unlocked all the characters and their alt costumes. It was all about the bowling because that was the fun
part. That was it. That was the shit.
Especially everyone's little victory thing that they would do after they got a strike. Like
turkey.
The turkey. Oh, that was
good. Heck yeah.
By the way, Azazel is in Tekken.
Oh. I thought he was in Soul Cal.
Nope. Azazel is in Tekken, but I know the character that you're thinking of.
And he also looks like that guy from Thing. Also, I hate to say this, but sometimes in games, they all look alike.
Sometimes.
Hashtag not trying to be racist, but clearly just said something racist. But, like, yeah, they look really they look a little similar, okay? Like,
I can't remember.
Like, he had glowy eyes, and he had, like, a big hood and a big, like, scythe thing, and he could manipulate time. Like, he was present in every timeline, might be more accurate of the ability.
I don't think he could
jump through time, but there was a version of him in every timeline that knew something that somebody else did not.
I believe that you are confusing what Azazel looks like in Tekken with what the black guy looks like in Soul Calibur, because Azazel basically looks like Anubis and a dragon had a baby.
So who's the black guy? who's the black guy?
Hold on.
There's a black guy with glowy eyes.
That's the Soul Calibur guy.
But, and he could go through time. Or rather, he was present in every timeline.
Okay, but...
What's his name? I think it's got an as in it. I know it. I'm going to look it up. This is going to bother me.
I know it. I'm going to look it up.
Is it really something? I just put in Soul Calibur black character and it was like the top hit? That's pretty sad.
Wow.
Oh, okay. It's Zazamel. There was an Azza in there. It's Zazamel, who I'm thinking about.
Okay, yeah, but Azazel is a character. He's the final boss character in the Tekken 6? Yeah, Tekken 6.
Zazamel. Sorry, Zazamel. It's really confusing you for an Anubis-looking motherfucker.
You know, yeah, because Azazel looks nothing like Zazamel.
Okay, well, then I'm blending games.
You are. It's all the zzzzs.
There's a lot of
azzzzs in the stuff. Just got you confused.
I hate to say it, but if they want to bring Tekken back, they just need to make it like, they have to do like Mortal Kombat meets bowling and just do another Tekken bowl. And depending on your score would depend on how much damage you did. Look, to your opponent.
Here's my thing. I think that, like, Tekken bowling needs to be an offshoot like they've done beach volleyball for DOA. Okay? Because there are some people who just really love the bowling thing, and they stripped it out, and they haven't brought it back. But that's only one thing in it. Like, the big thing for me is that, you know, the fighting just didn't feel balanced in Tekken 6, and it just felt like they threw more characters and more points to complicate the story as opposed to creating story cohesion. Like, I still, even after watching, like, animated Tekken movies, I still don't understand why it's the Heihachi's family line that has all this crap going on. Like, I don't understand what it is about their family bloodline that makes the demon thing happen. And how all these other people from all these other walks of life across the globe seem to be aware of it in some way, shape, or form. How the Mishima Corporation still somehow ends to be up like this mega conglomerate, even though they've tried to bring around the apocalypse now for multiple generations. And
someone needs to fucking audit them. Bring some auditors in, sniff the truth out.
Right? Like, it has all these complicated points that aren't ever resolved or aren't ever explained. And so either completely walk away from trying to have a story or really sit down and flush your story out.
I mean, it's kind of like the whole Marvel versus DC movie thing. Spend the time to develop the universe, Marvel, or fuck everything up because you want to look good, DC. Just saying. Batman versus Superman, I'm looking at you. Granted, X-Men Apocalypse wasn't all that great. Marvel, don't fuck up. Don't start slipping now because you think you're in the lead. Do your fucking homework. Do the research. Develop the space. Develop the motivations. If all this stuff is done correctly, things will flow and it will be beautiful, like butterflies in flowers in like May before some gentle rain, but none of that harsh shit that ruins your hair because you just got it done so you can look good. No frizzies. Like, it's a nice day. You can wear a light jacket just because you just generally feel cold, but everyone else is kind of okay. So you're the weird one out, but, like, I'm not taking that from a real life situation or nothing. Just saying.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Totally not something that happened a couple of days ago.
Totally. Didn't happen. It made it
totally up. Just pulled it from my brain.
Yeah, yeah. Because you'd like to freestyle like that.
Oh, I do. I'm all about the. I have that skill, ability.
You got flows and bars.
I do.
You just keep them to yourself, and you should do that.
I do.
So anyway, Injustice 2, I'm definitely excited about. I can't wait to learn more about the game. I will be pre-ordering it.
Of course you are.
We will probably play it. There will more than likely be video of us playing it.
I will play that with you now that we're an adult and you stop putting me in corners.
I don't corner.
I mean, I still jump, though.
I do learn moves, though. Like, I pick two characters in any fighting game, and those are my go-to guys, and I work on learning their moves list. So I will tell you right now.
I'm a jumper. I like to jump around.
Jump, jump, up, 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 and get down.
Down. Jump. Jump. That's what I do. I jump.
That's okay. That's what high punch is for. So, you're going to learn
today. Get your fucking ass down here. Get down here.
You're going to learn today.
Anyway.
We will be playing Injustice 2. It's a gorgeous game. Check it out. Like I said, on YouTube. I'm sure that we'll be talking about it on future podcasts, especially as they release more characters that are going to be in the game. We will definitely be talking about them, but I'm excited for this game. I've been missing fighters for a while because somebody has my Mortal Kombat X.
I do.
And, like, hasn't been playing with me, so,
Yep, also still me.
Yeah, also still you. So, I haven't played, like, a fighter in a good while. I haven't really been excited about season 3 of Killer Instinct, and I really thought that I was going to be, like, deep into KI. I really did. But I didn't like what they did with Jago and what they did with Orchid. And, you know, in subsequent releases, they tried to balance that a little bit more, but it's still not my KI nostalgia.
Hashtag
experience.
Not my KI. Hashtag, like, Hashtag.
So, like, I have it, but I'm not deep into KI. So, it's been since Mortal Kombat X that I've played a decent fighter. So, my body is ready for Injustice 2, is all I'm saying. So, check it out. Let me know what you think. Hit us up on social. Be like, yeah, I feel you on that, Ninja. Or, psh, Heffa, what you talking about?
All right. So, I got two things I need to talk about.
You got two things.
Two.
Thing one.
Well, because the first thing ties into the second thing. So, I gotta talk about the first thing.
Okay.
So, I love me anime. We know this.
Yes.
I also love abridgments because I remember being on such a serious Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged kick.
Oh, God.
That there were several episodes where I was
never going to get off of that. Like, I was every week was like, so I watched this on abridged and I was like, oh.
It's like, adore me. And just all the time. All the time. And I was really addicted to Yu-Gi-Oh!
You
made me
watch that thing with the pants.
Yes!
The song about
pants. His leather pants. La, 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 la. And Brooklyn Rage and all of that. And I still love them. Whenever it becomes YouTube o'clock, they're usually the first three things I show people. And they're like, how old are you? And I have to now say 32. But that's not the point. But through Little Karibo.
Don't judge me.
Through Little Karibo and his ingenious abridgment, we have seen several YouTube groups kind of come up that do abridgments. After I saw that,
Do you want to explain what abridgments are?
Yes. So, an abridgment is, usually in anime, we've seen them in other cartoons also, but generally started in anime. It's when somebody or a group of somebodies take an anime series, particularly, and they will re-edit, re-voice over, condense, and usually sometimes to the degree where they really boil it down to comedy. You don't often find abridgments that are serious. Like, it's a big spoof, a riff, if you will, a giant riff of a series. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Was the first one I ever saw, followed by Sailor Moon Abridged, which, I mean, we know how much of a Sailor Moon fan I am. I got a lot of enjoyment out of that. And then this team kind of came out called Team Four Star, which if you've heard of them, you've probably heard of them because they have done several really great abridgments of Dragon Ball Z and Hellsing Abridged.
Wait. There's a Hellsing Abridged?
Hellsing Ultimate Abridged, yes. It's good.
What?
It's very good and funny.
Why have I not been told about this before now?
Oh, you should check it out. I think you'll really like it.
I finally finished Ultimate because they finally released the end of it.
Oh God! And then when you go to watch the abridged, you'll be like, you'll poop yourself with laughter. That's how good it is. And you won't judge yourself for pooping because you'll still be laughing
from
the comic.
Let me make sure I get on my adult diaper first.
Yes, get depends. Anyway, moving right along. But Team Four Star has literally dominated the space with, you know, the
abridgments.
Dragon Ball Z. Yes, and that's what they do. And they have decided to do a contest, which I heard about it because my fiancé decided he wanted to enter. At first, I didn't think he would actually do it, and then he pulled it off, and that goes to show me and my whore mouth.
Yep.
Need to learn to stop.
You gotta learn
so negative
today.
Yep. Anyway, so Team Four Star has this contest that happened in June, and you had all of June to make an abridgment, and they had rules, like you couldn't abridge anything that they've abridged, or any of their subs, you know, their little guys have abridged. And they put a big list of all the things you could not do. And it had to be under 10 minutes, and, you know, you had to get it done through June. And they won't announce the top 30 because of all the submissions, the top 30 are going to get viewed on, put on their website and viewed, and who knows, it could turn into a viable thing. Who knows? But through watching the fiance go through what abridging looks like and how you do it, one, it's a pretty amazing process. It leaves you staying up really, really late and re-editing, and for people who are just in a space, maybe not sleeping nearly as much, and getting angry because they have to go to work at 8 and you could take 3 days off from your job and no one would care. And, yeah, but that, you know, I'm not bitter.
No.
I'm not bitter.
No. Don't pick up on that at all.
No. But through his experience doing that and him releasing it. Like, every so often we go on YouTube because you can find a lot of people after submitting it have then put it on YouTube to see what the internet, which probably was a bad idea, had to say about it. Because these are all people who don't do it professionally. Like, people who learned the basics and then fucking figured it out. Or not, in some cases. But anyway, through this Tenkaichi Ironman Bukai Abridgeathon, TIBA for short, I came across this TIBA for Soul Eater, which is a really good series that I watched back in college, so clearly that should give you an idea of my age at the time. And the abridgment was not funny, which was one of the rules, but it was well done, very well executed. And in one of the scenes, the two main protagonists are talking to the principal of the Death Reaver School, and he is watching some fucked up shit. And they're like, we don't know what you're watching. He's like, you don't want to know. And the funny thing is, I'm like, I don't know what series that is. And there's a lot of blood on that screen. That looks like something I should know about, but did not know about. So first thing I did is I hop on the internet and I'm like, bloody scene where a girl gets her legs ripped off. Like, to see if I could find, like, the clip that would then lead me to the show. Sure enough, that does in fact work. And it points me to a series called Blood Sea, which initially by looking at it, once I saw that clip, I was like, aw shit, this is a Clamp show. Why the fuck have I not watched this? So then, of course, I do some more research and I find out that Blood Sea is the second of the Blood series, the first being Blood Plus. Okay. Which I heard a lot about, but never watched. But then I was like, I wonder how many more, like another meets Higurashi blood level, sis.
What?
Yeah, like that. Like, literally, you should just wear red tinted glasses when you watch the show. But anyway, so I was like, let me see if I can find all the gruesome stuff, which then I do. And then I'm like, I must watch the show. I'm very intrigued by what's happening to everybody. And that's a little disturbing. But I find it on Hulu because I don't believe it was on Crunchyroll, but I found it on Hulu through Funimation. And the sad thing about that is that you get the lovely white bar of censorship, which sucks because I wanted to see the gore, which makes me sound more and more creepy the more that I say it.
Yep.
But anyway, I found the series and it's called Blood Sea. And I pretty much marathoned it in under 24 hours because it's about 10 episodes. And what an interesting anime. And it falls in the same universe as Blood Plus, which I wish I had watched, because now I need to go back and watch it. Because I feel like, because like I said, it's the second in the series, and it somehow happens in the same universe as Blood Plus does, but it's a totally different setting and a totally different character. So let me talk a little bit about that. So in Blood Sea, which is what I watched, we are watching the life of Saya Kisaragi, who seems pretty normal, long flowy black hair. You know what Clamp style looks like. Yeah. So long and flowing and probably like a little hindering to a person. Like, it seems like most of her weight is coming from her hair instead of her body. Long black raven hair, glasses, sunny disposition, like a little clumsy, happens to be the shrine maiden for the only shrine that's in this little town. And I mean, this is totally like a little town out of like Higurashi, like surrounded by trees, kind of very similar to Lost Village in the setup. So you can get a visual.
Okay.
And there are people walking around. They're a small town. There's one school and she goes to school and she's often late. And her father is like the priest of the shrine. And he's like kind of nice, but kind of cold, like obviously cares for Saya, but like isn't like, baby, I love you, you're like my baby girl. Like, he's just like, we have a role, but I still care when you get hurt, kind of like a cold but not cold, like a tsundere sort of, but okay. In a dude. And
tsundere but in a dude. I'm following.
But in a dude. And neither of them cook, so she goes to this cafe every morning for breakfast. And the guy there who is like super cute and looks completely harmless, which the minute I saw him, I'm like, you the bad guy. Or you don't. I was like, you the bad guy, or you know the bad guy, or you're watching her for the bad guy. You're
but
one of
you
those
are
guys.
Too nice looking to not be the bad guy.
You know, and it's really kind of sad that, like, I could kind of smell that out. But he runs this cafe, and he
it's
feeds her, and he
you can
buys
smell
her
anime. But continue.
That because it's smelly. It's a smelly anime. It just reeks. And he makes her lunch every day because neither of them cook. And he always gives her coffee. And she's, like, really, like, cutesy into him. Like, she's like, I love you. And, like, not even like that, I like you kind of way. But, like, she's like, no, I love him because he's kind and he listens to me and he gives me coffee. I'm like, you a drug addict. You addicted to that caffeine. And, but I mean, that's all internal voices. This is not what's happening to me. But feeds her every day, talks to her every day, and she sings a song when she goes to school every day. And everything seems okay until all of a sudden it's nighttime. And she comes home to the shrine because she can't hang out with her friends because, you know, she's got duties as, you know, a Miko.
Right.
And apparently her duties are to defeat these monsters that show up in her village, and they tend to come at night. And the first few she gets are pretty tame. Like, you don't see why they're really a threat because she happens to go to them, they fight, and she wins. Until all of a sudden you start noticing that people are missing. Or people are going missing. And you find out that these monsters eat people. And while she does end up defeating these monsters, she never defeats them before they eat people. So, and every time she's like, why am I just not good enough? Like, I made this promise to my mom. I did all this. And as she's, like, trying to think of, like, her purpose in life, every time it seems like she's about to, like, remember something, she blacks out. So you're kind of like, someone is pulling some strings here. To keep you from
remembering
stuff. So you find out, because I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this.
Spoilers!
That this whole town is in on this experiment. Because there's this experiment going on that has to do with Saya. So there are people who are extras and people who are main cast. And the main cast are pretty much all the people who see Saya every day. So her class, or like six people from her class, her teacher, and, like, her dad. And everyone else are extras. Now, in this universe...
extras are expendable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
Now, granted, through the series, at one point, all the monsters begin attacking these main cast people, and they appear to be dead. They're not, but you think they are, and it's slowly driving Saya nuts. Because, like... they're dead. She couldn't protect them. There's this stress. And you don't figure out why this seems to be really important. But that happens to be the experiment. And there's also this cute little puppy that talks to her. Kind of in that Kyubey sense. Like from Madoka Magica. So at first I thought aliens when I saw it. Because, you know, they like to look cute and say things that make you think like they may not be human. And clearly it is not. This show has a really interesting thing about it. Is because it decides it's going to bleed into other Clamp mangas and shows. And you actually find out that that puppy isn't really a puppy, but is actually the protagonist from XXXHolics, which I know I talked about a long time ago. Kind of like a Pet Shop of Horrors meets, like, Cardcaptor Sakura art style type stuff. And the thing about XXXHolics was it was all about a store that would grant your wishes at a price. Kind of deal. And the puppy's just like, someone came to me because they had a wish for you. I can't tell you what that wish is, but I won't disappear until that wish has been fulfilled. So you're kind of like, what? And, like, of course, people are still being eaten and murdered, and Saya is going continuously nuts. And the cute guy is still giving her coffee every morning. And, like, giving her this weird thing that kind of looked like Turkish Delights, but he calls them something else. And, like, she really likes those. And the coffee, because they make her calm. And I'm like, ah, he's poisoning her. Or he's hypnotized. Like, there's something in the coffee. There's something in the candy. Stop eating. There's something. He's drugging her. And sure enough, after enough of the ward or the spell has worn off of her, she starts to remember that... these monsters that she's killing, she's been killing for a very long time because she herself is inhuman and is a vampire, but not the kind of vampire that feeds off of humans. She's special. She eats or drinks these monsters' blood. And for the last several months, you know, she's been killing all these monsters and blacking out after, and you find out that she's been drinking their blood and she's been being monitored and all this stuff. And Her dad's not really her dad. Her dad is also kind of a vampire, but not her dad. Her
dad vampire.
Right. He's a vampire who actually does feed on humans, but he was the only one powerful enough to be able to subdue her long enough to, like, drug her to the point that they could do this experiment on her. And the guy who's been giving her coffee has been wanting to see if he can change her nature because he is, like, completely sadistic and just wants to see if he can change core behaviors in things.
Uh-huh.
So he devises this whole town with all these extras. And everyone, like I said, is in on it. So the extras all know that she's inhuman. She won't kill them because she doesn't feed on them. And that if they appear when they're supposed to appear, that they will not be hurt, so to speak. Then, like I said, people start dying and are getting eaten that weren't supposed to get eaten. And all the main cast people die, air quotes. And three of them decide that they want to speed up the process of her remembering who she is and what she is so that they can go on with their lives because they don't want to be there anymore. Well, that kind of fucks up in, like, the biggest way possible. Because then it obviously exposes the whole town. And the crazy guy's like, well, I've got enough information. So he summons more of these monsters and takes away these talisman things that keep the main cast from dying. Like, they die, but they come back through the power of his talismans. And he switched all of them out for fake ones. So now he can get rid of all the evidence and peace the fuck out. So the clips that I saw in that Tiba that I watched is the very ending of the show where no one has any protection and literally girls are getting ripped like between the legs and like a guy got stepped on and then got stepped on his face and it went splatty splat. And then there's another guy who literally like one of these monsters is like got a sack and is just shoving humans in it. And then another one of them comes and makes his hand like a blender and just blends the bag full of people. And there's just blood everywhere. And it's actually kind of making me hungry. But
that's completely different. And that doesn't have anything to say about your character, but it kind of does.
But I mean, absolutely beautiful. Like the story is so eerie, like kind of in that sense, like, I mean, in another, you know, shit's going down. Like, you could kind of tell from that first episode that, you know, things are just not right in another.
Yeah, you know, something's off.
And in Blood Sea, like, with a name like Blood Sea, okay, clearly there's going to be some blood. Possibly, I don't think blood comes in C. I think it comes in A, B, and O. But, you know, whatever.
Yep.
But with a name like Blood, okay, there's got to be blood somewhere. And then it has this really super happy song, cute song in the beginning. And you're like,
That's just to lull you into a safe...
A false sense of security.
Yeah, that.
Here's this cute character who's klutzy, and everyone thinks she's so cute, and she's oblivious to the guy who obviously likes her, but she's attracted to the bad boy who's, like, always sneaking off after lunch.
Always after the fucking bad boy.
Always. And he's an asshole, but whatever. But then they both end up liking her, so, like, it totally plays out like a slice of life. Like, the show is, like, kind of meta in the sense that it's totally setting itself up that way. And that's like, oh, by the way, everybody's gonna die. To the point where literally the only person who's alive is the sadistic fuck because he manages to get on a helicopter. And now she's like fly jumping Jessica Jones style to like slice him in half. Also, by the way, she's the one who made the wish on herself to never change. And that's why that puppy thing was there to like keep her from, you know, forgetting herself. And as she's trying to go and kill the dude who's fucked all of her shit, he shoots her point blank in the eyeball. And I mean, mind you, she does regenerate, but, you know, it's not like Wolverine, like super fast regeneration. It's like Deadpool regeneration.
Okay.
Like, it takes a while. And, like, so, you know, when you get shot through the eyeball, it kind of takes out some of your skull and your brain
stuff. There's some additional collateral damage.
And, like, she falls into this river, and he's all like, I know that your wish was so that you could eat humans. Maybe one day you'll be able to do that. And when you can come find me. Haha, I'm an asshole. And, like, she's just, like, not dying because she doesn't die, but she's just, like, helpless and, like, with half a brain. And she's slowly healing in the credits. And you just kind of see things slowly healing up on her, but her eye never completely heals. And she ends up taking a bit of her clothes, and she fashions, like, this cool patch. And then you see her walking out of town. And that's how the series ends. Now, there's an OVA. I think there are one or two OVAs that expand on this beyond that. I have not found them yet. I want to watch them because I know in one of them she gets them. She gets them. And I gotta see that resolution happen.
You gotta see her get them.
I feel like in animes where they obviously are playing with dark tones and they're not afraid to show you gruesome ass deaths. I mean, literally, when this one monster comes to the school and it's only her classmates who go, and she realizes, she's like, I thought we all had school. Why is it like, she's so dumb that she's so cute. But like when she finally realizes that, you know, like it's a setup. Like, I felt bad because there were some kids who were like, you know what? I'm ready to jump out this window and kill myself. And as they're jumping out of the window, this monster thing, literally with its super sharp, like, tentacle things, pierces through, like, two of them, decapitates one, and then eats them. Did not even allow the guy to end his own life. It's pretty sad. And, like, people are being stabbed through the face and, like, blood is splurting out everywhere. And there's, like, people walking down the street and shadows just be eating people's legs and shit. Like, it got bad. And you're just like, I need to know why.
Why is all this death and dismemberment happening? I don't understand, but I
want. And why am I smiling at it? Yeah, like, that's why?
The thing. See, right there, Amanda, like, that's very, the thing.
Very enjoyable.
That I would be a little more worried about.
My strong suggestion for anyone who is interested in this series, who hasn't seen this series, don't watch it on Hulu. You will lose all of the bloody scenes by a giant beam of white godly light or a black bar or black shading or convenient cut away with like a splashy gut sound.
Okay, so what do you need to watch it on?
I do believe it is on Crunchyroll, so watch it on Crunchyroll, or if you have a subscription to actual Funimation, I think you can actually like get the version where you can actually see shit, because it loses its punch if you're going to protect me. Clearly, I've seen clips on YouTube where it's not barred, so you can totally see what's happening. I mean, this one scene, like, a spike goes through a lady's throat out of her vajayjay hole. Like I said, it's graphic! And I've never seen it done before in such a...
So I take it, Panda, that you've never watched any of the Blood series?
No. Okay. Well, here's the thing. So, I believe that, like, the original Blood, like, way back.
Blood, the Last Vampire.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch Blood Plus, which is the first one of...
to see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But...
Which comes after Last Vampire.
Yes. But I'm going to go back and watch Blood Plus, because I think when it first came out, I was like, this is way too slice of lifey. I clearly know you're a vampire. Can we get to it? And then, like, people were just like, it was such a slow start that I was like, not interested. And this was just kind of like, hey, cutting to the chase. Something's fucked up. Watch all the fucked up stuff. Okay, here's the plot. And I was like, hell yeah.
The Panda special.
Exactly. Like, oh, got me in all the warm places. Like, you know, because I like stuff like that. Like Another and Higurashi.
But Another had a slow start, too. It really wasn't until, like... Episode 3.
I know! No, in that second episode, because the first one, nothing really happens except they set up that, you know, the town is kind of weird.
But you don't have your first death until episode 3.
But here, okay, so yeah, true. But that death, though.
I mean, that death, though, but I'm just saying, like...
It wasn't like a, oh, I'm gonna strangle myself, or, oh, someone's gonna stab my eye. Oh, no! I got my throat punctured out by my own umbrella.
Yeah, no, it's gruesome.
And the gym teacher watched me die.
All I'm saying, though, is that, like, it was a slow start, too, but once it hit, it didn't relent.
By the way, going back to Another real quick, why didn't the gym teacher just kind of, you know, go down the stairs and, like, just tip the umbrella so she wasn't, like, you know, on it? Like, she could have just been on the ground bleeding out. Like, no, just had to let her, like, say, like, Jesus suspended via throat, however. And just let her bleed out that, like, it was kind of...
I believe that the gym teacher was a bit in shock, if you recall.
Maybe. I'm just saying. And I really...
It's a shocking visual.
It is. It is. Quite. Like, she's falling, and you see the umbrella, and, like, they just have to put that little glint that this is shiny and sharp as she's falling. And you know in her mind, she's like, aw, fuck. Like, please don't go through my eye.
In my mind, I was like, oh, that's going through her eye socket.
That's what I thought.
Like, that's what I thought. And then when I saw it go through her throat, I was like, oh, that's worse. That's worse.
Like, I was like,
And then she was twitching. I'm like, nah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, man. Man, another's that's so
brutal.
Bad.
Another's brutal.
And we're getting another one, which is great.
So.
Now we're going to have two that are another's. So there are two people who don't belong. Electric Boogaloo. But anyway, I don't know how they're going to play that one out. It's going to be like a person and like a frog. A demon frog that's killing everybody. But needless to say, good series. Check it out. If you know anything about Blood Plus, please tell me about it. Try to convince me to watch it. Because like I said, these do happen in the same universe. So like, I should want to know how they kind of, if they're in tandem, if they're in parallel, if they're like, how difference between time and whatnot. Like, I love all that shit. So feed me.
Well, there you have it, guys. So we're going to wrap this episode of the podcast up because, you know, there's food to be had and games to be played. And after, you know, running through blood, Panda's hungry. Surprise, surprise. So make sure that you check out our website, electricsisterhood.com. Our news, reviews, and all kinds of great articles are there. You can also find links to our podcast, which you can get in a multitude of ways. You can get it in iTunes, either on your desktop or on your iOS device through the podcast application. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe. You can also search for Electric Sisterhood. You'll find us either way. But make sure that you subscribe so you can get our episodes the moment we put them out on the web for consumption. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio, you can get it through Google Play, you can get our podcast over not only on our site, but also through VogNetwork.com, and check out some of the great shows that are over at VogNetwork.com as well. We love the team over there and appreciate their nerdiness, much like our own, so make sure that you check those guys out. Also, be sure to check out all the sites underneath our network, because we are always growing, and our nerdery runs deep, just like yours. So, from No Borders, No Race, which is hosted by King Baby Duck, over at B3Crew.com, definitely want to check that out. Lots of great video game, anime, manga, and just random indie entertainment stuff that you should really, really get to know. Love their site, so make sure that you check it out, B3Crew.com. Also, SmashRook.com, the homie Hamsterman2049, holding things down, doing live streams of various games every Wednesday on Twitch. Make sure that you check out our Facebook page, Facebook.com/LandOfEsh, and find the link every week to his live stream about 20 minutes before he goes live. So make sure that you check that out. Also, check out the homie Phil, the Issues Guy, with Phil's recap and review. Live recaps going on. Love what Phil is doing. Make sure that you check out his YouTube channel. Be part of the recaps. You can call in live, message live, be part of chat. It is an absolutely fun and irreverent time. Make sure that you check him out, issuesprogram.com. And the team that is youngest to the group, but not youngest in experience, nerdcrave.com. Comic books, manga, anime, games. If you're nerdy and you're craving it, they're probably talking about it at nerdcrave.com. So make sure that you check out everybody in the network. Like all of our sites, add us to your bookmarks, put us in your feed readers, grab our podcasts, and interact with us on social, facebook.com/LandOfEsh. Like our page, make sure that you follow our content, share with us. If there are things that you want us to review or preview, just hit us up either on the page or via private message and say, hey sisters, I would love if you guys would check this out and let me know what you think on a future podcast episode. And we'll be hit you back and be like, yeah, we can do that. Or, no, because that's not right. But hey, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So hit us up on Facebook as well as Twitter at ESH News. We're also on Instagram at ESH News. And we're sharing photos and videos and stuff that we're playing. So make sure that you check all that out. And also our YouTube channel, youtube.com/electricsisterhood. We've got new content that's going to be coming to the channel really soon. So go ahead and subscribe now to check out all the goodness that's going to be coming to the channel. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
I want some chicken.